We're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we have Andrew Hofer. See, he was coming up already. He was sneaking up on me. We have with us Andrew Hofer of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to share the word with us today. And we appreciate it. He brought his beautiful family with him too. Everybody's welcome to say hi as things progress. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we are blessed this day. Lord, help us to count our blessings. Help me to whine less. Father, I pray for your word to sink deep into our lives, and I hope we can reflect you, the glory, the hope, the plans, maybe a part of the love that you have for each and every one here and those that we'll meet. Lord, we ask you to anoint these words that are shared today. Bring glory to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Coming in here this morning, I was telling a couple people that I've got a lot of, it brought back a lot of memories. Just my Uncle Gene and Aunt Rita being here for years. Whenever we'd visit, when I was like Lila's age, who's five, we would come to church here on Sundays when we'd visit and come to Grandma and Grandpa's in town. So a lot of memories come flooding back. So it's good to be here to fellowship with you guys and to worship with the Grace family this morning. So good to see a lot of familiar faces. To people that my family and I have been able to connect with in the community and within Aledo as we've served here the last 8 years now. Before I get into it, I want to give you a couple caveats here. One, a few weeks ago I was diagnosed with pneumonia, so I've been sick, so I'm recovered now for the most part, but I'll try not to have a coughing fit in front of you guys, so bear with me there. So even though I know a lot of you guys know who I am, I wanted to take just a second to introduce myself. My name again is Andrew Hofer, and I'm the area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in the Three Rivers area, which is basically the Western Illinois Quad Cities. It's a 10 county region. And with me today, I brought my family. So they're in the back hiding right now, but that's my wife, Katie, and our twin 10-year-olds, Savannah and Micah, and then our little 5-year-old, Lila. So we're really happy to be here today and to be sharing with you guys and to come and worship with you guys. But today what I wanted to do, I wanted to touch base with you guys on a topic that is somewhat difficult in our society. And we're going to eventually, I don't have a fancy diagram or anything on the screen like that. We're going to be in Philippians 2 today. And I'm going to tell a little bit of a story first. But before I get into the word, and then I'm going to kind of bring it back together and connect those. Because I'm going to talk about a topic that's a little bit difficult, but one that really connects well to our current culture and the testimony that we have, my wife Katie and I have, as we've dove into full-time ministry with FCA. And really, if I was to put a title on what I was talking about today, I'd say it's Big Me, Little Team, because I had it wrong for a lot of years growing up. And as I get more into this, I wanted to, again, apologize a little bit. I'm going to use a lot of sports analogies and references. Because that's the environment that I work in, that's the environment that I served in, and the environment that I've served in for a long time. So it's a pretty unique field, but sports have been one of the primary avenues that the Lord has blessed me with to be able to serve His kingdom and to be able to try to make an impact on our local schools, communities, and kids. And this has been primarily through coaching in a lot of regards, everywhere from pre-K. So if you go out to one of the ball diamonds in the summer, I'm probably out there somewhere with all the kids. So everywhere from pre-K through even kids who are in college, coaching at different camps and things like that, and directing youth leagues and teams and ministering at Mercer County High School as an athletic administrator, and now serving 106 different schools in Western Illinois as we seek to share the gospel in order to reach out thousands of students and coaches that are participating in our local schools and communities. It's really been a journey, though, for us, and one that the Lord definitely had planned, and one that He had a perfect plan and timing for. You know, growing up, I wasn't the best athlete. I know looking at me, that'll be a huge surprise to you guys. But I wasn't the best. I wasn't the worst, but I was a good distance away from being in that upper echelon as an athlete. You know, in general, I would say that for students, once they get to that, like, you know, latter part of high school, they kind of realize where their ceiling is athletically, and some of them realize it even earlier than that. But by the time I got through maybe like the fall of my junior year, I kind of knew where my athletic ceiling was going to be. And at the end of high school, it was going to be done. I wasn't going to have any more opportunities. Just wasn't there for me. But I knew that even though there wasn't much of a future in participating and competing in athletics, I still wanted to be involved in it. And that's where kind of coaching came in. And it was really at that point that it was really impressed upon my heart that coaching might be a good path forward in my life. See, even in high school, I was pretty analytical towards sports, and I really liked the ins and outs of things. I almost saw it as like a science. And more importantly, I had a lot of really positive adult role models in my life, from different youth pastors and youth workers, a lot of great coaches, and then my parents. My mom was a teacher, and my dad coached us in everything from the time I can remember even starting to play sports through high school. He coached us in so many different things. And those people really impacted me positively and helped shape who I was and kind of helped inspire me to serve in sports and in education. So even though that path wasn't always smooth, I ultimately started my coaching career right after I graduated high school. So I graduated high school in May, and then I started coaching junior high football at Sherrard when I was 18 years old and wildly unprepared and ready for that. And I'm not going to get into a detailed description of every step of my coaching journey and everything I did in my career, but I knew why I was coaching. I knew I wanted to impact kids in the schools that I served in. I knew that I was a believer and a coach at the same time, which is somewhat unique. And I knew I didn't just want to make an impact on the field, the court, the track, whatever it might be. I wanted to be able to help make a true difference in the eternal lives of our students. Ultimately, that led me to become a high school football coach, which is a huge part of my journey and how I've served. And after coaching football as an assistant for a couple years, I was able to see that impact firsthand. You see it as an athlete, but when you actually are seeing it, being the one who's impacting people, it's a whole different ballgame, whole different set of accountability and a different mindset. And I knew I wanted to do that going forward for a long time. So kind of fast forward a few years there to 2011, after serving as a high school football assistant for a few years, 25-year-old me was given the opportunity to take over a small football program as the head coach in Northern Illinois. And I know it wasn't that long ago, but it really seems like an eternity ago. But coming into that situation and having been an assistant coach at a smaller place that was typically successful, I was feeling pretty good about myself. Feeling pretty good about our chances of succeeding. Like, I was going to really put my thumbprint on that, and we were going to get things going. But there's several problems with what I just said. First of all, I used the word I a lot, which was a big problem. And looking back now on my first year as a head coach, I again realized I was wildly unready to be a head coach of any program. I was too worried about what I was going to do. I had my own interests first and not always the interests that were most important. And I want to tell a story about that first year that really impacted me and changed the way that I coached. It's kind of challenging to tell, but it's part of my testimony and how the Lord led me to where I am today. You see, as coaches, and a lot of people are like this too, but we're notoriously over-planners. Notoriously, like, we want to have control over as many things as possible. The problem is, in coaching, kind of like life, there are so many variables that can change things and humble us very quickly. And if you guys have been around high schoolers for any period of time, you know that they can humble you in a very quick manner. I'll never forget that first season, though. I remember we won our first game and still feeling pretty good about where we were. We won't get into a lot, but we didn't win another game after the first one that year. But we won our first one, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. But my bigger memory came in the second game. And we were playing a team that was typically pretty good. And anyways, they beat us pretty good. We came in feeling good. They beat us good. And in every facet. So I remember coming into the locker room after that game. And this memory is vivid. And I was completely dejected. So I come in and I'm thinking, this is kind of how the kids are going to be too, right? We lost our first game. So I'm going to come in. I'm going to console them. I'm going to encourage them. And we're going to start our path back for next week, building back up. And to my amazement, when I went into that locker room, into that post-game environment, I didn't feel the soberness that usually comes with losing that I thought I would see. In fact, many of the kids in that locker room weren't acting any different than they had the week before when we had won. We had some kids in there that were talking about their personal statistics they achieved during the game. Others were talking about what they were going to do after the game or on the weekend. And others just seemed to want to get out of the locker room as quickly as possible. I was really stunned. A 25-year-old coach, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I said a few quick words to the team. I didn't have much to say at the time because, I was just amazed at what I was seeing. Said a few quick words and dismissed them for the weekend. But that night changed my mindset in coaching and in life forever. What I saw was something that is naturally cultivated in our society, but wasn't what cultivates true success in life. I saw people looking out for their own interests, but not the interests of others, specifically for their team. That day, again, truly changed my mindset in coaching for the rest of the season and for the rest of my coaching career. I knew that I had to do things differently. I knew that I had to get away from the me culture personally, and that I had to model differently and diligently work with our team towards that ultimate goal. As the season progressed, I kept tabs and started to work on changing that culture. And in some ways, things got better, but in other ways, we were too far down that road for that group. That's kind of a helpless feeling as someone who is leading young people when you've led a young group and you feel like you didn't serve them as best as you possibly could. Looking back on that year, we weren't very talented. You know, no matter what, even if Vince Lombardi showed up, we probably weren't going to win very many games. But even though we wouldn't have won many games on the field, we definitely could have instilled the need to serve others at an earlier time. Again, would that have changed the game outcomes? Probably not. But maybe it could have changed some of the relational outcomes that we had within our team and within our community and within our school district. When the season ended, we had still only won one game. After the clock ticked zero at the end of the last game, few seemed upset the season was over. It had been an exhausting season, but a very powerful lesson for this young coach. Now that I kind of give that little story, how does that translate? How does that translate to life and what we're going through every day? You know, watching that team lose game after game the rest of the season showed me how much is lost when we don't prioritize the right things, when we prioritize me instead of others. While I was a Christian coach and a believer in that situation, I did not always coach in a way that was fully honoring to Christ because I was too worried about myself and the impact that I would make, especially at the beginning of that year. I often wonder what that season would have been like if myself and the other coaches on the staff had done a better job of modeling what it means to live like Christ and to truly serve others. What if we had coached like the one who washed Peter's feet? What if we had coached like the one who served lunch to 5,000 people? And what if we had coached like the one who ultimately took our place on the cross and endured the punishment that we so justly deserved? You know, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection remind us that the call to serve others above ourselves is the greatest victory that we can ever experience. So what does it really mean to model like Christ-like humility and servitude? This is where the word really comes into play. And I'm going to refer to it a couple times today because to me, again, come from coaching mindset, this is the ultimate playbook. This is the ultimate playbook, and we don't always do, myself included, the best job of studying that playbook. But the word gives a really clear description on what it means we should do. And I want to dive into Philippians 2 today. And within Philippians 2, I'm going to get into verses 1 through 4. I'll give you a second to turn there. At this time, Philippians 2 is really talking about imitating Christ's humility. And again, I think there's a few very specific commands, and there's some overlap in these commands, but something that I think resonated then and resonates even still today. So let me dive into that real quick. I'll read that here for us. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I'm going to go ahead and finish off verse 5 too. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Pretty powerful words there, and something that we can take. We could probably talk about this for hours here, just this little section. But those are some powerful words with some pretty direct commandments. We have so many things that attack us on a daily basis in our society. Think about the things that are going through at our schools, in our community, on social media, in the media in general. There's so many different things that attack us that are causing fear, anxiety, anger, and all sorts of other feelings. But one of the things that also causes is selfishness, which is very high on that list, and selfishness can then cause other sins down the road. Fortunately, again, we have many answers. When we're struggling or when we have issues that present itself, we can use the ultimate playbook. And this passage in Philippians gives us several guidelines here. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, it talks about encouragement coming from being united with Christ. common sharing in the Spirit, and being like-minded and having that same love. Now, I know, depending on which version you're reading, that the word united is actually in there. And it wasn't in the one that I just read, but united is such a clear, direct word here. It says the Lord is giving us a clear direction. We know that living selflessly, is not what the flesh wants more often than not. Typically, we are naturally inclined to think about ourselves first. But to truly combat that, God calls us to unite with Him. So what does that mean? How do we do that? And it doesn't specifically say in here, but there are other in this section, but there are other areas in the Bible and in the gospel that does. So to really connect and unite with our Savior, we need to be in prayer daily. We need to be in our Bible study. We need to study the playbook. We need to be relational with others in our church and within our communities and be in prayer for those around us. Those things are so vital and things that most of you guys have already learned and know, but they're so important, and it's so important now with the busyness of our society to stop and take time for those things. Again, it talks about taking the opportunity to unite with Christ. How powerful is that, that we have the chance to unite with the Creator of the world, the one who invented everything. I mean, just get up in the morning and look at the sunrise, and we have the chance to talk to the Creator, the one who created that sunrise. And that's so powerful to me, and just thinking about how privileged we are, even as undeserving as we are, to be able to have that opportunity each and every day to unite with our Savior. And it's, even with all of that, the powerfulness of that, it's not an easy discipline because of the busyness of the world that we live in on a daily basis. But we just need to make sure that we study the plays and study what the Lord has given us. The second part there, or the second command, comes in verse 3, where God calls us to do nothing out of selfish ambition. We are to, in humility, value others above ourselves. In an odd way, it got me thinking about this. It's the complete opposite of when you go on a flight, right? You guys remember when you go on a flight, one of the first things they're going to come up and do is they're going to talk about the emergency procedures and what happens if the oxygen masks come down. What are you supposed to do first? You're supposed to put on your own mask first, right? Put yours on first, worry about everyone else later. All right? So with that, while that rule of thumb is great for flights, the Bible clearly calls us into a different direction. We should be looking out for others first. For our families, for those that we're surrounded by every day, for our communities. This doesn't mean that we neglect ourselves, but it does mean to change our mindsets. It's meant to change our purpose, to really change our why. When we start to consistently think about others, I can promise you it's a game changer in life. Your life will be changed, and so will the lives of those around you. And then getting into verse 4, the final command, and there is some overlap. It's kind of a re-emphasis of the second one. It says we are to look out for the interests of others and not just our own personal interests. That goes back to the main title of what I said I would title my lesson if I had to create one today, Big Me Little Team. You see, when I started coaching my first team as a head coach, I had it backwards. It was Big Me Little Team. And the team that I was coaching backed that in their thoughts and in their actions. God has clearly called us to lead in a different direction, though, all of us. It should be big team, his team, little me. Through connecting with Christ, humbling ourselves, and prioritizing the interest of others, we have the opportunity to do that every day. I'd encourage everyone here to stop for a second and think about that today as we get ready to start a new week. What does that look like in your own house? What does that look like in your own neighborhood? At school, at work, wherever you might be? Those are questions that everyone has to answer on their own. But like I said earlier, we have got the greatest playbook ever. We've got a Creator that we have a constant contact with, a constant line of communication with. And we just need to utilize them more to be able to do that. Tying up some things here, that story that I told you earlier really changed my mindset. It changed my coaching career. I've gone on to coach thousands of more kids and thankfully learned from that lesson. That doesn't mean that everything has always been perfect. There's been ups and downs. There's been good days and there's been bad days. But it really gave a clear goal and a vision and direction for how I wanted to lead and how I wanted to treat others. For 11 more years after that, I served as a high school head coach and then in a variety of educational roles, including 7 years here at Mercer County as an assistant principal and athletic director. Those lessons and biblical principles, though, always stood at the forefront on how I wanted to handle myself going forward for the rest of my career and now for the rest of my life. I actually thought I would do both of those occupations for the rest of my career, but the Lord had a different plan for my family and I. Plans that I really wouldn't have envisioned, but divine plans where all of my past experiences have really kind of led me to where I am today. As most of you know, or many of you know, it would have been about 18 months ago, we really felt a calling from the Lord to step out of education and coaching, and eventually did that at the end of the last school year, to step into the role of being a local missionary in Western Illinois. Frankly, that was pretty scary. It wasn't something that I had ever expected, and kind of came up, you know, if you're making a 20, 30 year plan, it wasn't in the plans, I'll tell you that. But it's something that the Lord called us to do. And how did I know I was supposed to go in that direction? It's all the time difficult to make decisions that are life shifting like that. I was going through this first commandment in Philippians 2:1 that when that decision came to the forefront though. Getting into the Word, praying, and truly connecting with our Lord and Savior allowed me to get a clear direction, get a clear calling on what He was guiding us to do, and ultimately led us into the role of missionary, into the role of being a missionary, where we can serve our different schools, communities, coaches, and students that needed to be served and needed to hear the gospel so desperately. That unity with Christ gave me an intense amount of peace in the decision-making process. So intense that I've never been more confident in the direction that the Lord has called us in. There have definitely been scary elements in this whole situation, but again, I'm living in an indescribable peace in the decision that was made. Through serving as a local missionary within Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I'm now serving 106 different schools in 10 different counties, with the goal to see every coach and student come into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. When I was a young coach, 13 years ago now, I probably would have said, I can do this, even with this FCA model. I can do this, and I probably would have tried to serve this with a personal confidence that borderlines on arrogance. Now, though, I know that this is the mission of FCA that is only achievable through His sovereign provision. Because when you think about the thousands and thousands of kids that you have the opportunity to come into contact with every day, that is not achievable on our own. He is working this out on a daily basis and giving us opportunities to share the gospel with students within school walls, to have faith conversations with coaches and adults at all levels, and to empower students to be bold in their faith to be able to share His name with others, which again is not common in our society. What a blessing to be a part of something that is so much bigger than me and to be a part of something where the goal is to change and impact, not only impact kids, but to change the eternal lives of those that we come in contact with and potentially change not only them, but their families for generations to come. When we're done here, I've got a few things set up at the table in the back. I would love to connect with as many of you guys as possible out in the foyer area. FCA is a missions-funded organization, and every penny from this ministry supports the missionaries, everything from the missionaries out in the field to the Bibles that we're passing out to the students. So I'd ask if you guys would prayerfully consider meeting with us and supporting FCA, because we would so appreciate it. And just again, prayerfully consider maybe sitting down with my wife and I and taking time to think about this ministry. But I don't want to get a little bit into that too much. I'd love to connect with you guys, but I want to thank you guys for welcoming my family and I today, for allowing me to share a little bit about my testimony, my journey, and some of the gospel that kind of came with that decision making, and really for helping, for allowing me to kind of talk about the playbook and how it helped shape who I am today. You guys are loved, and I want to encourage you guys as you go out into the community this week, whether it might be at work, school, the grocery store, wherever you might be, that anyone who you come in contact with, have that mindset this week. How can I serve others? How can I faithfully follow that word that the Lord has given us to truly put others above ourselves? We're so thankful for you guys, and thank you for allowing us to come and share with you guys, and God bless. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into your house of worship this morning to fellowship and worship your name, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we go out into this week, Lord, that we would honor you, we would do unto your will, and that we would serve those around us. I pray that you would bless each and every person here, and that you would help us again to seek your will first. Thank you for this day, Father, and thank you for our opportunity to connect with you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.